Late summer is a quiet time for classical music in Kalamazoo, although many organizations are gearing up for a very full fall and winter season. A concert of new music inspired by travels to Vietnam and Alaska and by the poetry of Kalamazoo poet Conrad Hilberry is set for this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo. The artist and composer is cellist Elizabeth Start, and she's invited a number of local favorites to join her on the concert.
The performers will include Carl Ratner is singing some of my songs, settings of Con Hilberry poems, and he's being joined on the keyboard by Lawrence Axelrod, who is a composer-pianist I know in Chicago and have brought over here for some things in the past. And actually, he and Carl know each other from way back, so it was a nice little reunion for them when they rehearsed for the first time yesterday. And then other area performers, I have a piece that I wrote on in composing in the wilderness in Alaska last summer, and that is for the unusual combination of violin, horn, and percussion. And the performers are Mark Portalese, Margaret Hamilton, and Carolyn Keeble. Carolyn and I are going to be improvising to a reading of Con's Black Car Blues, which I found the other day. I had him record it in 2005 for me to improvise with in a concert at the Modern Art Museum in Chicago when they did the John Cage Music Circus thing. And I was playing my electric cello to that, if I remember correctly. And so I thought that would be a nice way to get his voice onto this program, too.
Well, I know we've discussed it a little bit in years past, but why is Conrad's poetry so special to you? And why do you think he's a major artist, a major poet?
Well, for me, when I read his poems, they sometimes even tell me what to do structurally and musically. I mean, they're so clear, and the way they reference different things at different points in or related items in different points of the poem, you can feel that musically bringing back ideas and modifying ideas. And just with a couple of words, the images just, you know, your mind goes crazy with all kinds of images that are evoked with just he seems to just pick the perfect words to you know, excite the imagination, for me anyway.
Before we went on the air, you mentioned that one of the reasons behind the project was to create a public performance of the pieces you'd written that Mr. Hilberry had yet to hear, but he passed away.
Yes,
last January.
Yeah, that's I had always tried to keep him up to date with recordings of things that were being premiered in Chicago and elsewhere, but I thought it would be nice to have him able to attend a program. But even then, even last fall, it would have been questionable, you know, day to day, whether he could have gotten out to a program. It's certainly we miss him, and I'll be thinking about him as we do these songs.
How have you been moving on, and what are your thoughts on the life he lived?
I think the life he lived seemed just from my perspective, knowing him when I was growing up as a kid, I delivered newspapers to him. I just always thought he was just always so full of joy. It just always seemed to me, and to watch him watch a concert or listen to a concert, to watch him, you know, spectating, it's just really an enjoyable thing, because his face was always alight and filled with emotion and reaction. And he just was always so generous about his poetry. Always told me, you know, have little dedications in each of his books saying, you know, can't wait to hear what music this will inspire and things like that. So I think there are an awful lot of people who he touched, and I think he'll be remembered very much. And did a project which I started because I was doing my fused art pieces on New Year's Fest, and I wanted somebody to read the poem because I play cello, and so the words aren't really there. And so I, when I premiered all of that, Gail Griffin read them, and Khan just attended the program, and that was in 2015, I think. And so when I was doing this, no, that's probably 2014. So then I was doing New Year's Fest 2015, and I thought, well, what the heck? Why don't I have Khan, you know, record them? And so I went over to his house with my little Zoom recorder, and, you know, and with all the time in the world, takes you know, more than one take, whatever it took, we got those 8 poems done. And they're all out of his most recent book, you know, the book that he published in you know, a few years ago. And then I thought, well, this was fun. It was fun to go visit him. We got to chat. And why don't I just see if I can do the whole book? And so, and spoke with his daughters about it, and they thought it was a great idea. So over about a year, visited him, and we'd record them, and then we put it together into a little CD, which is available at Kay College's bookstore. I called it Khan Hilberry at Home, I think. And it's just reading all those poems. And so that was being able to do that. And then also very limited release is the outtakes, which I gave a copy of to his daughters, because it's very fun, him reacting to his poems, which maybe he didn't remember them all. And, you know, and sometimes he'd say something like, oh, that was a quirky little thing, wasn't it? Or, you know, did I write that? And, or just break out laughing at something. So the outtake CD is fun too, but that's not for distribution.
Yeah, public consumption. What do you prefer, the printed poems on paper or hearing them read or hearing them set to your music?
Oh, that's a tough one. Okay. I like reading them because they will send me in different directions each time. Like I said, there are so many images with even one word that he chooses, that each time you read it, I think you get something a little different out of it. Once I've set it to music, I've picked one of those interpretations, and that's the way. But of course, I love how it created the music. So because it will give me inflection, it will give me pacing, it will give me imagery. So I like what it has created. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing these songs again, which I've only heard once.
Well, it's Carl Ratner, and if listeners don't know, he is a professor of voice at Western Michigan University. My question is, are you hovering over his shoulder with some advice on how to interpret your songs, or did you just give him the manuscript and walk away?
I just didn't even come into physical proximity. I sent him PDFs and asked him if he would do them, and he tells me he's enjoying working on them very much. And yeah, I know Carl back. We were at Oberlin together. I played in the first opera he ever conducted.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, hadn't seen him for years until, you know, 5 years later or so, we're all here in our 50s or so. but anyway, yeah, he's, I did send him copies of the recording of the premiere. So he had that to, and, you know, as much to hear of how the piano interacts with it as well. So, yeah, I will, if he wants, I will send him my program notes. But mainly that is, I think it's fairly clear the, you know, like there's a point where the mousetrap goes to sleep. And so there's a little bit of Brahms' lullaby in there, just very subtle. But so there are little things like that get inspired by the words.
Well, this is a good place for us to maybe give the spotlight to Conrad, because you've brought along his readings of these poems, and why don't we hear Mousetrap?
Okay, sounds good.
Mousetrap. My parents were mousetraps, and my grandparents. An ancestry of wood and wire. I knew my trade. You should have seen me half a century ago. Cocky. Build a better mousetrap, someone would say. I'd look him in the eye. Some things are what they are, I'd say. Can you build a better guillotine? The blade falls, gravity with an edge. Want to try a circular saw? That was the way I talked back then. Now I waste here on the shelf, behind the decon. No offspring. End of the line. Still, after midnight, I can feel my wire go taut against the headboard, my curled hips ready. I wait, pretend to sleep. When something chews the cheese between my legs, everything I've stored breaks free. The job is done, done right. I draw a breath, lean back, sleep out the night.
That's Conrad Hilberry's The Mousetrap, the first poem I've ever heard from the perspective of a mousetrap.
That's true. Yeah, it is very, very vivid. And he puts life into so many objects you wouldn't think that you'd ponder, but it makes it very interesting.
And would you remind me again, that is your setting for voice and piano, or did you add more instruments?
It's just baritone voice and piano. And the performance that I think you're about to play is from the premiere in Chicago by Brad Youngworth and Lawrence Axelrod.
That's Mousetrap, as set by my guest Elizabeth Start. And wow, Betsy, first of all, the text is great, and I love your humorous way of setting the piece. It helps us sort of relish the words that much more.
I hope so. That's my goal, is finding the little points of humor and the dramatic points and the connections. As I mentioned, when the mousetrap springs, it's the same music as when the guillotine blade comes down. So, and I saw those relations in his text, how it was laid out. Yeah.
So that's just a quick selection, and there will be a handful of other songs that you're setting on this Sunday concert, which again is at 2 o'clock at First Baptist Church. Let us take a look at the other focus of the program, which has to do with the fact that you've been a world traveler these last couple of years, and really wanted to present some things that showed how you'd been inspired by your travels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the first piece I wrote in connection with the travels actually was when I was in Alaska. I went on this wonderful program called Composing in the Wilderness. And there were 9 of us composers there. And we spent 4 days at Denali. All our technology was stripped from us. And we spent 4 days just camping out in the little tent village and hiking with botanists and soundscape scientists and all kinds of really interesting people. And it was an interesting group of composers there. We had everything from someone who just graduated college to me, the old person, and everything in between. And then we had a couple from New Zealand, 2 from Australia, 1 from New Zealand, some folks from New York, Portland, Seattle, so from all over the place. And it was just a really wonderful grouping of people. And we, you know, had some very exciting hikes where we went up in beautiful sunshine and then got thunder and lightning and massive hail on us. And then after our 4 days at Denali, we were flown by bush plane to Yukon Charley Preserve, where we stayed at a refurbished gold mining camp. And toured the area there, too. There's a wonderful old dredge that's like a 3-story building that you can just climb all over that was just abandoned. So the tools are there and people's lunch boxes and stuff. That was very, very, very cool. And that's where we wrote. That's where we got our PCs back and we could actually compose. And had the 4 days or so there. And then we went to Fairbanks, where the pieces were premiered by some musicians for the art music festival there. And actually they added on for the first time this year. This program's been going on, I think, about 8 years or so. And for the first time last summer, we actually premiered the pieces at Denali first at the Visitor Center. So we had a concert there, and then we had the concert as part of the Fairbanks Festival.
Surprised that it wasn't just a let's all get together and just feel inspiration, but you had a deadline and a concert.
Exactly. We were told that, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world if we didn't have a piece. So it's not like you had to pay a penalty or something like that, or you didn't get to go home, which might have been a good penalty because it's really beautiful there. But we were also not told anything about the instrumentation before we got there. As a matter of fact, the first thing we did was draw little pieces of paper out of a hat to see what our combination was. There were 4 musicians, the unlikely grouping of violin, horn, percussion, and flute. And each of us had a trio of those instruments that we were to write for. And we did not know that until we all got together, because they didn't want us to try and create something in advance.
So Mark Portolesi, Margaret Hamilton, and Carolyn Keeble will play the trio.
That's true. Yep. That's the plan. And they're rehearsing it without me next week. I'll see them for a tech rehearsal. If all goes well, one of the things that we were supposed to do for the piece was to have at least one image from our time there to project on a screen. So I'm working, hopefully, to get tech where I will be able to do that. I actually have, I think, 3 or 4 images that, pictures I took of, like, bears by the river and Denali itself, which was beautiful. Everybody told me, You know, you'll be lucky if you get to actually see it, and beautiful, beautiful clear pictures of it. So, and then I also use some sounds recorded there, some of them from the Soundscape Scientist and some of them of my own, some water sounds, rain and a glacier cracking, things like that.
Did you find yourself having to really readjust on your way back?
Coming back here from being in Alaska?
Yeah.
You know, you hope that it lingers longer, and I think it did a bit, but, you know, the whole rest of life catches up with you. So you have all these ideas about what you're going to do, having been influenced by this time in the wilderness. And I have to say, I did, one of the first things I had to write when I came back was a piece for the Chicago Composers Orchestra based on something Chicago. So I thought, oh, goodness. So I did the river. And actually end with a nice little jig as it gets turned green at the,
on
the
a
end
certain
of the piece. Yes.
Day in March.
That's right. And then it also turns blue at the very end for the cubs.
Well, tell me another story about a great destination you had in the last few years.
A year ago in March, we went to Vietnam, and it was a wonderful 3-week Sierra Club trip where we went from Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City, to Hanoi, stayed at 3 national parks, probably 10 different cities, snorkeled in Nha Trang Bay, and stayed overnight on a boat in Ha Long Bay, and kayaked, and saw all kinds of things, ate all kinds of great food. And one of the oral impressions I had there was the gibbons, the lesser apes, that make an unbelievable sound when they get going. And they'll be out in the trees all around you in one of these parks. They were, there were a number of them in captivity because they were being, they were healing from various injuries. But the ones out in the trees were really quite disconcerting because they'd be, you know, kind of almost flying around you as they're making these sounds. And it starts out with just nice little descending motifs, and they end up sounding like about 10 car alarms going off at the same time by the end of it. So I am using some of those sounds in a piece that I am presently creating for cello and what we now call fixed media. So those recordings will be there that I will be playing along with. I've chopped them up and put them together in different ways, and I'll be figuring out, after I finish that the fixed media part, I'll be figuring out what I'm going to do in the cello part. So this will be a very fresh piece that we will hear on the 27th.
And sure to take us away to another place.
Definitely, yes.
Did you stay, was it a very rustic trip? You said Sierra Club. Were you in tents?
No. Actually, they have a couple of different types of trips. One is very, you know, biking and kayaking and like craziness, ruggedness. But this was, we were for the most part in very nice hotels. The places we stayed in the parks were, you know, they were okay for little cabins in a park. And we'd spent one night in a house on stilts in Hmong Village as well, where we, you know, exchanged music and danced together and had a good time. But other than that, they were actually very, very nice hotels. You know, great food, great breakfasts, you know, fueled us for the day. So.
Sounds like another wonderful trip. Is there another piece your travels have produced?
There's another Alaskan piece that uses sounds that, again, it's a cello and fixed media piece, and it was premiered at the Electroacoustic Music Festival at Roosevelt University back in April in Chicago. And that was using a wide array of sounds. There's everything from the sound that caribou's joints in their legs make when they move, which is a really interesting rhythmic crackly sound. And there's some beaver tail slapping. There's ends with a wolf howl. So it's sort of a sampling of the sorts of sounds you would hear in Alaska. And I call that a cellist in Alaska. And basically I interact with and react to the sounds.
Well, again, listeners, your chance to hear this music is Sunday at 2 o'clock at First Baptist Church. And Betsy and I will be seeing you in the weeks to come to talk about cello concerts, as well as the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, which is coming up with a series of concerts this fall.
Yep.
And that's exciting.
Yeah.
Is there a website people can get some more details on this concert?
They could go to my website. I did just update today. So it is at elizabethstart.com.
Okay. And what should we hear maybe to close out the interview?
How about something with electric cello? We haven't heard that yet.
Thank you so much for coming in to preview your program with us.
Okay. Thank you.